Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we talk the return of a particular academy, a school for the ages here in the world of professional wrestling, and it's one of my greatest, greatest places of employment. They are back. The return of the academy. I can't wait to get it. Let's get in with this.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your Tasso brother, another brother. This is your host, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am A.J. Orsini, and I'm going to go ahead and just put this down for a second because it is vent time. I am having issue after issue. Now, yesterday I conducted a phone interview. It's the first time I've done one of those on the show, and everything ran without a hitch. It was beautiful. It sounds great. Everything was on board. Everything was on point. And of course, as with the theme of my fucking day today, all that has gone awry. I am having technical issue after technical issue after technical issue. I am recording this right now on a whole nother program that I had to get a hold of just to get the quality down. So the show that I had prepared for you was I was going to talk about some of these big bulletins, some of these big news items we got going on here. I mean, we got dream matches, returns, tournaments, title changes, a lot of shit going down in the world of pro wrestling, and my equipment will not let me have it. Because that's called karma, folks, because yesterday I was praising how smooth everything went, and of course today, big giant bag and ball of shit. So I got lucky in the sense that everything went well yesterday. So here's what we're going to do. That interview was only 30 minutes, which is why I had I had more to the show planned to fill my usual hour. However, the equipment that I have doing this shit with me right now is not cooperating with me at all. So I'm kind of on limited time here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to divulge somewhat into what we're going to talk about here, give you guys a little bit of base of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to run that down for you in just a second or so, and then we're going to end our show with the interview. So you guys can get to know a little bit more about what's going on with that. One of my places of employment that I always loved going to, it's literally my favorite place on the planet when it comes to pro wrestling, and that is Pro Wrestling Academy up in Connecticut. That's where they were based. Originally out of New Haven, then Cheshire, and then they moved around. They did a lot of shows in different places. You've written all kind of Hartford, if I'm not mistaken, East Hartford or something like that. I went to Hartford a couple times for them. And we did a bunch of cool things, man. And then they eventually closed their doors in 2013. No, excuse me, 2017. And but now they're back. They're back. They're going to do some things, and they're split up. More on that later. There's a little bit of a caveat to their return. So we're going to get into that a little bit as well toward the end. So I'm not going to say fill time, because that's not something I really need to do. I'm not programmed here. This is a podcast, so I don't need to do that, but I did want to divulge a little bit into what we were going to talk about here, and I have the list in front of me here as far as some of the topics, because I wanted to get into this. I wanted to talk about the dream match that we're supposed to be having now at WrestleMania. It's been rumored. A big debut here in AEW. We've got a title change in AEW. A lot of AEW on this program today. Edge's return was something I didn't really get a chance to harp on, because it's not so much about Edge's return. It's the situation around Edge. I didn't really get a chance to divulge more into that. And then we have a tournament coming up. Now, the tournament's something that go ahead, we'll start with that, because I think that should be a quick discussion here. That's something that I just found out about recently, as about as early as this morning, as a matter of fact. Apparently, Ring of Honor is having a tournament to crown their new Women of Honor champion. That's their version of the Women's Championship at Ring of Honor, with their sister promotion, Women of Honor. And A lot of controversy around that, I'm going to safely assume. I think I just found out about it this morning, so I haven't really had a chance to scour the internet to see what kind of reaction that it's getting, but I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and tell you that it's probably not going to get received positively considering how their former champion exited the company. Exited Ring of Honor to Kelly Klein with the concussion protocol, and I think she broke something. Wasn't there like a broken arm or something? I can't remember. This was a while ago, and I think I talked about it on the show a little bit, but the point is, regardless of the injury, the point is she was injured and was not taken care of properly, was not flown back to the States on time because they were overseas. I think they were in Europe or London, I believe. And that whole situation just soured everybody on everything relates to Ring of Honor and their championship situation. Ring of Honor has yet to really harp or even comment on the situation, but they have, this is as close to a comment as you're going to get, and that comment is we're moving on. They don't feel the need to discuss it. If they haven't by now and they're announcing a tournament to crown a new champion, since Kelly Klein did not be beaten, she was not beaten for the title, she did not relinquish the title, she just was the champion and was no longer a part of the company. So they're going to go ahead and move forward and do the tournament daily, and they're going to do a big one, as a matter of fact. I think it's a 16-woman tournament. And they're going to begin that tournament April 22nd, I believe, is the start date for that tournament. I have it down here somewhere. And they're going to go ahead and get into that and crown a new champion. So the question is AJ, I mean, you're just laying down the facts right now. What is there to discuss? The discussion is be careful with yourself. That's the discussion. If you're a worker or you're in the business in some way, shape, or form, and you're listening to this podcast right now, take heed. Okay, I don't think I have to tell you guys that, but at the same time, what a prime example right here. And for all you fans out there who just love the idea of these workers, and that's why I wanted to tie it into Edge a little bit. We'll get into that. You know what? We'll get into that right after this, and we'll get to that. But these big returns and these returns from injuries and stuff like that, when fans just want these guys to just come back as fast as humanly possible, and I always tell people, take your time. You got a 4 to 6 month injury, take 8 months. You know, I know it's hard to do that because, you know, you got to pay the rent. Rent doesn't pay itself. You got to work, you got to eat, you got to do shit. I get it. But if you can afford it and you can do it, because you know what? These companies, these big companies, just like you're seeing here, they're going to make business decisions. If that includes you, that includes you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's just the way this system is going to go. And it's the way that every system goes. This is not wrestling centric. This is business 101. At the end of the day, it's the business that counts. It's the business that matters. It's the business that everyone is eating from. So that's exactly how this is going to go, and it's not going to go any other way at all whatsoever. These people are going to eat, whether you're on the payroll or you're not on the payroll. That's just the way that it is. She was a champion, guys. A champion. A champion for a division they're in the middle of building. You know, it's still not where it's supposed to be, and I'm pretty sure it's still not where they want it to be. You know, which, of course, I guess the goal at this point would be like the NXT Women's Division, since they're tops in the entire industry right now, with the exception of, you know, if you're a big Pyrrhus fan. Because some people will tell you, well, the Joshis are kicking ass, which is probably true. But on a major scale, on a mainstream scale, it's the NXT Women right now, and it's not even close anywhere else in the world. And so if you're trying to build your brand to that level, Kelly Klein was a wonderful person to build around, and that's going to be gone now. Now, I don't know what happened backstage. I don't know where her relationship was with the company. There are other factors. You don't just relinquish a champion for the shits and giggles of releasing a champion, but they did do that with Kelly Klein. So take heed, boys and girls, because, you know, one day they'll love you, one day they don't. You know, one day you're doing great, you're building around you, you're getting the big push, you're the champ, everything's going great. And the next is sitting at home on the verge of a divorce with a company holding a tournament for a championship you never lost. This is just kind of the reality of certain people. And if you don't want it to be your reality, take heed, man. You got to prepare yourself, you got to protect yourself. That's just the way that this goes. You know, not everyone is going to be there for you when you think they will be, man. Look out for numero uno. Be careful. You know, it's nice to have friends in this business, but you never really know how long they're going to be your friends. I don't know how many people are standing behind her or how many people aren't, but I know who is. Ring of Honor's not. They're not sticking by her. They're not sticking around for her, and they're not going to sit here and defend it. They're just going to move on. That's it. They're not even going to address it. Not even the dignity of a comment or a situation or of a future endeavors, nothing. They're just moving on. And if they have made a comment, I haven't found it. because I went looking for it the first time I talked about this. Hasn't happened yet. Tournament's the first thing I've heard about it. So they've moved on. Absolutely moved on. And we can tie that over, by the way, to the returns. This is why I always tell people all the time. I said it on the show when Kurt Angle came back. This is a mistake. It ended up being a mistake for him. He got a last ride in or whatever. That was cool for him, but it didn't look the same. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan comes back. This is a mistake. Now, it's worked out for Daniel Bryan, but if you're for people saying, well, you know, Daniel Bryan, you said the same thing about Daniel Bryan, and he's doing just fine. Yeah, you know why he's doing just fine? Because he's doing a lot less. He's not traveling and working every fucking night in every fucking city. He's not taking hard bumps the way that he used to. His style has pulled back a little bit. Not completely gone. He's not completely finished with his style. It's still rough and tumble, but he's being smart. He's being safe. And these are the things you have to do, especially when you're coming back from an injury the kind that he is. Now, for forever, Edge kept saying that he wasn't coming back. Edge kept saying that he can't come back. It's a different injury. Blah, 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 blah. He was working all of us, including me. But if you remember correctly, and which most people tend not to, and I'm sure most people didn't, because I got a lot of messages when Edge came back at the Royal Rumble, from people who clearly weren't paying attention to what I was saying. So let's clarify, will you? I did say I didn't think he'd be back, which is where I'm wrong, which is why I said, yeah, I'm going to eat that crow, because I was wrong. He did come back. Okay, but the reason why I said he won't be back is because he shouldn't be. There was no reason for him to come back except for one. And the thing is he's got more reasons to not do it than he's got reasons to do it. But he came back. Because there's just something, and I don't want to use the word itch, because it ain't the itch. There's something about the pride in the person. He didn't retire because he wanted to. He retired because he was told to. Just like Daniel Bryan. They retired because they were told to retire. I'm not going to say have their careers taken from them, but it's a string of things that's leading up to an eventual catastrophe. Edge has had a series, not one, a series of very, very dangerous near-death neck injuries. Multiple neck injuries. Not one, not two. He's got the last one, what was it? Triple fusion neck surgery. Dear God in heaven. And you want that guy to come back and take bumps. Well, he's not going to wrestle on a full-time schedule. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm sure they'll be in the ring with guys who will protect them. Doesn't matter. Well, he's not going to have the stress of the road on his neck. Doesn't matter. Edge has triple neck fusion surgery. Any medical professional will tell you if he slips and falls in aisle 3 of the Stop and Shop, he could break his neck. The fusion surgery is for healing. It's for operation. It's not for protection. He doesn't have a cast iron spine now where he can just do whatever he wants, jump off of a high building and flat back bump it on the cement. That's not how that works. I have seen too many of my friends pulled from a ring into the back of an ambulance to sit here and play games with. Well, it might not happen. Edge, at the end of the day, it's Edge's decision to do whatever he wants to do, and that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and tell the man how to live his life. But I can come up with far more reasons why he shouldn't than for reasons that he should. It was a nice pop he got, a nice reaction the night after on Raw. They did the right angle, which is getting him off of TV for a while, because there's zero reason for him to be on TV right now doing anything. Build this bitch up. Get ourselves a mega match out of WrestleMania, and that's going to be huge. I'm looking forward to that match, actually. Edge and Randy Orton in 2020. You couldn't have paid me to be excited about that back in 2004 or 2005. But I'm excited for it now. I am excited for it. I wish him the best. I want him to go out on his own terms. It's the reason he's coming back. There's no other reason for him to do it. So I'm glad that he's doing it. I'm glad he's going to get the chance to do it. And I firmly support him, and I hope everything works out for him. Having said that, I don't think he should be in the ring. I'm supporting him because he's made the decision to do it. I still don't think he should do it. He's got kids. He's got a family. He's got a life. He's made more than enough money. Acting is still on the table. He's got things he can do. He doesn't need to be here. But he is here, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to push forward with that. And I love the fact that he negotiated with AEW in his back pocket. That was smart. That was good business right there. Got a few years out of that deal. He's going to get himself a nice little run. It's going to be a pretty good situation. But that was my whole thing about the Edge thing. I caught a lot of heat for that, but you know, it is what it is. You know, that's how I feel about it. I don't want him back. Speaking of comebacks, we're going to hit the dream match now. Let's talk about the dream match. WrestleMania is right around the corner. Season has begun. It started as soon as the Royal Rumble aired those winners out. Now we've got ourselves a nice, steady path all the way to Pirate Mania down in Tampa. Okay? And we've got a dream match on the table. It's all the rage. It's all the hubbub. Everyone's talking about it. I don't normally divulge into rumor, but I like the possibility of this. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about it because I think it's good audio content here. The rumor mill is circulating. The Undertaker will be back inside of a WrestleMania ring coming this April, and the opponent seems to be penciled in. It's always penciled in. Never inked until much later. Once we see the graphic, but even then, subject to change, right? But the idea right now is we're going to have an Undertaker-AJ Styles matchup. And I could not be happier about that. Because finally they're going to put Taker in the ring with somebody where Taker does not have to carry. Because that's been his Achilles heel the entire last, how many years? Since the last time I saw Taker at WrestleMania. Taker's last good match was with Punk. He hasn't really had a good wrestling match since then. And he's had a few matches since then. But I think the era of hoping and wishing, and this is going to come off disrespectful, but it really isn't. I'm just being honest. The days of Taker carrying you through a match are over. Taker's mind is exactly where it needs to be. He knows how to call a match. This guy is not up. He's not out of his mind. He doesn't have the Alzheimer's. He doesn't have blank spots in his brain. He gets it. He knows how to call a fucking match. The mind is willing. The body is not. So the day, what have we seen since CM Punk? I mean, what, 2-3 matches with Brock Lesnar? That's not doing a whole lot. That's having the Lesnar match. The Goldberg match, he's wrestled Bray Wyatt since then. Not even Fiend, but like regular Bray Wyatt at that point. We've seen him team up with Kane a few times. He's had some matches here and there. The DX match in Saudi Arabia. The Goldberg match in Saudi Arabia. He's had, who was it he wrestled? Was it Rusev wrestled at Saudi Arabia as well? He has not been in there with anyone that can command the ring to the way that it would make him look like a star again. And if there's anyone on the fucking planet that can do that right now, it is very obviously and very clearly AJ fucking Styles. AJ Styles is a consummate professional. This guy knows what he is supposed to do inside of that ring. He knows the job. And I don't mean lose. I mean he knows the job. I don't know who's going to win this match. But the whole point of this is he needs to get into that ring and make himself look good and make The Undertaker look good. Put some credibility back on that name. Put some more drawing power back on that name. Styles can do that. How do I know that? Besides the obvious, that he's one of the greatest in-ring performers to have ever done it. Let alone right now in this generation. Ever done it. There are very few people in this industry that can carry The Undertaker. He is one of them on this list. It's going to be a fantastic match. And if that is the match, Styles and The Undertaker, and I just told you Edge and Randy Orton, I'm already looking forward to this WrestleMania on a huge level. I still say at Pirate Stadium over here, if they don't have Kairi Sane doing anything with that, it's a crime. It will be a crime for Pirate Mania. It's going to be dope. I am looking forward to Styles and The Undertaker. I know with the rumor mill going around, there are a lot of people that are, well, what about Sting? What about the Sting match? What about the Sting match? Why are we still talking about the Sting match? Well, maybe they'll have it at Saudi Arabia. They're not going to have the Sting match. And if they did, trust me when I tell you, you're not going to like that match. The entrances, the promo package, all that shit's going to be on point and on fire. You know that promo package is going to be dope. Two of the biggest franchise players of the 90s going at it for the first time ever in a WWE ring. Hell yes, that promo package is going to be great. Hell yes, those entrances are going to be through the roof. And that stare down, that Sting versus The Undertaker, toe-to-toe, face-to-face, that little stare down they do when everyone is taking the flash photography and videos with their cell phones. Oh, that's going to be a great moment. And the 8 minutes that will follow that will be absolute, disgustingly cocky wrestling. It's not going to be good. It ain't going to be good. Both of these guys have, what, a combined 50 surgeries between each other? Sting, more recently, recovering from the injury with Seth Rollins. I know Taker's had his surgeries more recently than that, but it's not from wear and tear. From recent activity, that's wear and tear over the years. Sting's surgeries came from recent injuries. Who is carrying who in this? No. That match, I'm going to say probably never had a chance. Maybe when Sting first came in, that Triple H one, what was that in San Francisco, right over in California? Actually, now that I think about it, they're going to Hollywood, California. They're going to Inglewood. Other people say, they're headed to Inglewood. Relax. They're going to California. I don't know how that breaks down. There's a whole bunch of stuff over there. Anaheim and Los Angeles, and I don't know how California works. I know a lot of you guys listen to me, so help me out with that. How far is Inglewood from Los Angeles? I'm going to have to do some Googling on that. But if you're going to do Sting versus Taker, maybe there. Hollywood, right? So it's going to be like, you know, that's going to be Old Man Central. I hear Hulk Hogan might have a match at WrestleMania. Rollins is trying to get that booked. Rollins is like, hell yeah, I'll make Hogan look fantastic. Yeah, yeah. He's going to try to Shawn Michaels this shit. That'll be fantastic. AEW, I mentioned them. There's going to be a lot to talk about here on that. I'm going to try to condense this about 10 minutes maybe. I'm going to condense it all together here so that we can get into this interview. And then that'll be my show for the day. But AEW here had a title change and a debut. We'll start with the debut here. Jeff Cobb, the former Mantaza from Lucha Underground, from PWG Heavyweight Champion, the Ring of Honor Television Champion, the guy who stole the show at Madison Square Garden with Will Ospreay. He's done some things for New Japan as well. This man is a well-traveled, seasoned veteran professional wrestler. And I'm told 1,000 times, again and again and again, that AEW is the world of the mark, or smarks, I should say, right? Those are the guys who supposedly know all the inside shit. AEW has a much more knowledgeable fan base than the WWE fans do. That's what I'm told on a nearly daily basis. Well, if Jeff Cobb would have come out on a WWE television show, he would have gotten the same reaction he got with an AEW audience. So I'm not exactly understanding the situation here. I know of Jeff Cobb. I have had the privilege of seeing him perform in some fantastic matches over the course of his still very young career. He is an amazing athlete. He is a former Olympian, as they tried to let you guys know. In 2004, I believe they said, he went to the Olympics for wrestling. So the guy knows his way around a professional wrestling ring. He's built like a truck. The man is a specimen. He is a fantastic athlete. And trust me, AEW needs a guy like Jeff Cobb. But that's kind of my point with anger with this, right? Because what is so wrong about what is so wrong about teasing this? What is so wrong about letting your audience know if this guy is coming? I mean, ahead of time. If you would have done the same exact thing that you just did with him, have him debut, and that was another thing. They already had Jon Moxley's ass kicked with just the 5 they had, and then they brought out a 6th. That's a whole other bag of shit, but even if you do it exactly the same way that you did it, right, introduce him into the inner circle and the whole deal, what would have hurt if a few weeks before that, if they even had the opportunity, because I don't know, did they make the deal like the day before? Like they've been working on this deal for forever, and as soon as they got a green light, they just brought him to TV. What would be so bad about just doing a month, about 4 weeks of just he's coming, you know, and just show a destructive figure, just destroying people inside of a ring and just showing his beastness and his big moveset and just drill into these people that something destructive is coming, right? Just breaking through shit, just looking like a straight-up beast and monster for just several weeks, just not even a lot, just 3 or 4 weeks. Give me a month of just he's coming. He's going to break shit down. He's going to destroy everybody, blah, 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 blah. And then Like, you do the whole, you don't even, you can even do the name, you know? Like, they did with the package with his entrance, you know? It's like a silhouette figure, Jeff Cobb, boom, hits the fucking screen. And that would be your commercial for forever. Jeff Cobb is coming. Because then it gives you a few weeks to do research, all right? Because everyone keeps saying, well, if you don't know who the guy is, why don't you just look him up? Nick, homework? No, motherfucker, I'm not watching a television show to do fucking homework on it. Tell me who the fuck he is. You know, people say, it's not that hard, just YouTube it. No, it's not hard. You're right. All I got to do is YouTube it. I don't want to. You're the one putting him on my fucking television screen. You fucking tell me. Can people look up to get more reference on a TV show or more reference on an actor or whatever the case may be? Obviously, they can. But if it's beholden upon the television show or the television company to give you as much information so you don't feel the need to. If I can get all my information from the internet, why the fuck am I watching the television show? I don't need to watch the television show to begin with to watch AEW. Just put my phone on, I can watch AEW right now. Shouldn't you be giving me reasons to keep tuning into the fucking TV show? If your response to everything was, well, just go to the internet, then why the fuck am I watching the TV show? I'll just watch it on the fucking internet. Then I'll get all my information. I'll move my YouTube to the side. I'll slide it down. I'll open up my fucking Chrome. Head over to Google. Start Google. Oh, Jeff Cobb did this. Everything is good. Why the fuck am I going to sit down and dedicate time to your television show if all of your information is on my fucking phone? Then I have no reason to watch the fucking television show. Do you people understand what the hell you're talking about when you say these things out loud? It's dumb. Well, all you got to do is look them up. Well, if I got to look them up, then what the fuck am I watching you do it? I'll just do it myself. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Give me some fucking vignettes. Let them know what destructive force is coming. And then swerve me with it. Because I'm going to assume that maybe Jeff Cobb will come in some sort of baby face. You know, they're going to let him get a monster pop, so to speak. And then he aligns himself with Jericho. Throws the whole fucking thing off. And you're like, oh, fucking swerved me. Jericho got a hold of another guy. And then you just debut him and beat the fuck out of Moxley. And you go on about your business. Can you imagine what kind of really cool. This isn't the first time this has happened. My biggest case was the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny. You could have done some really fucking cool vignettes with that character, or those characters, that gimmick. You could have gotten some really cool fucking videos out of them. And I know people were telling me, I said that one time to a friend of mine. He goes, well, if you would have thought of the way you probably think of the Butcher and the Bunny and the Blade, you know, with those vignettes, it would have seemed like a lot like the Dark Order. You know, it would have been very similar to their Dark Order gimmick and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the only difference is I think this one would have got over. Because the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny looked like a real serious fucking act and a real fucking gimmick. And the Dark Order just seems weird and dumb. Who is enjoying this? Who is enjoying this? I hear AEW fans complaining about the Dark Order. They don't complain about anything revolved around AEW. So I don't understand it. Me personally, I just don't get it. What is the point of bringing in this talent and not promoting your talent? You know, I hear a lot of people, well, Kenny's not the same way he was before because he's trying to dumb himself down to bring these other guys up. And the Young Bucks are not really winning all their matches or whatever because they're dumbing themselves down to bring everybody up. And Cody's dumbing himself down to bring everybody up. And I concur to a degree. They are lessening themselves to seem more even with the rest of the roster. But the rest of the roster hasn't been elevated yet. Jericho, Moxley, Cody, the Bucks, maybe Lucha Bros, Kenny, Paige, and who else? Who else? I'm not saying they don't have any talent. They actually are loaded with it. But it doesn't matter how much. It's like the old sports analogy. It doesn't matter how many All-American athletes you have on your team. If your coach cannot put them in the positions they need to be successful, your team will lose every time. There is no one at the helm of this that knows where it's going. They're trying to put on the best show on a weekly basis. There is no real guidance to what they're going to do. Then they signed a 3-year deal with TNT. You would think that they'd have at least a 2-year plan. This is where this character is going. This is where this character is going. They're loaded with talent, but their talent is not loaded. They have a lot of guys who can do a lot of things, but they don't have a roster so big that it starts cutting over people. You know, what am I? It's like with the WWE, so many people sitting at home are getting paychecks and getting paid to do nothing. All of their guys, they have just enough guys and gals to put on fantastic shows over and over and over again. Just rotate, rinse, and repeat, right? They're not overwhelmed with roster space. There's not a whole lot of people on the roster, but there are enough people there with enough talent to put on fantastic shows. They don't know how. The Bucks know how to book the Bucks. Omega knows how to book Omega. Cody knows how to book Cody. There isn't anybody there that knows how to book literally anyone else there. They have a lot of fantastic talent that's just kind of swinging in the wind. And this is exactly what I was hoping would not happen, because this is what happens on the WWE. I thought the whole point of you trying to be different from the WWE is you were going to give a bunch of guys a bunch of opportunity to do some different things. And they've done that to a degree. But we're still getting 20 to 25-minute matches on TV where I'm not seeing an overabundance of different styles and matches. I'm seeing the same style, the same matches from everybody on the fucking card. Every match has a suicide dive. Every match has a multi-man spot where they come off the turnbuckle. It's all the same matches over and over and over and over and over and over and over. SCU, Best Friends, Lucha Bros, Darby Allin, it's the same guys over and over and over, which I don't have a problem with. But what I have a problem with is as soon as the momentum gets started on one of them, they disappear. Private Party, who I know very, very well, were killing it when this whole AEW thing started, and then they just kind of whittled down to the bottom, and the audience doesn't care anymore. Darby Allin, all the way up, this guy's wrestling for the championship at one point, and now he's setting paper on fire in the middle of the woods. I don't understand any of it. It's schizophrenic. It's all over the place. I watch it for certain segments, and then if I get lost, I will turn it off. If you grab me and I'm watching the show and I'm going through the ebbs and flow, I'll watch the whole thing. But as soon as you lose me, I'll turn it off. I've yet to watch a complete AEW Dynamite episode to this day because I can't follow it. I can't follow it. As soon as I get excited about something, that one thing goes away. MJF, killer promo. Okay, next week, what does he do? He gets thrown into a fucking pool. All of his heat thrown into the garbage. I don't understand it. I already went through that last week with the whole MJF deal and the 10 lashes and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through that again. But this is the way that it seems to go. So I'm confused by. And we have the whole deal with Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose has won the women's championship and everyone online is losing their fucking mind. You want to know how I feel about the Nyla Rose situation? It's very simple. You ready? I don't give a fuck. I don't fucking care. I've already spoke about the Nyla Rose situation. For as long as the people who are running the company are respecting her identification and are putting her in the position that makes her the most comfortable, as long as the people that she's working are comfortable working with her, and as long as she is not in the ring just absolutely murdering people, I have no problem with her doing a fucking thing with her life or her fucking job. How am I supposed to sit here and tell her how to fucking live her life and how to do her own fucking thing? I can't fucking do that. People are like, well, is she post-op or pre-op? Or if she make it a bad? I don't give a fuck about any of it. Nyla Rose's life is Nyla Rose's fucking life. That's it. AEW has stepped in, and they're saying that we're all about the equality deal. This is what the situation is. She's in the division. That's it. So that's it. To go on Twitter and put these little 140 character or what is it, 250 to 260 or whatever the fuck it is, whatever character fucking limit it is now, to fucking go ahead and just put that shit out there and just be, well, I don't like the fact that she won the championship. No one gives a fuck, Joe. No one fucking cares. I'm not talking to you, Pombo. I know you listen to the show. There's another Joe. There's other Joes. You should know that. You're not the only Joe. There are other Joes. Average Joe. That's why I said Joe. Don't get all cocky on me now. Jesus Christ. Well, she's a man, so she's whatever the fuck she wants to be. Just like she can choose however she wants to live her life. Just like you chose to live your life as an asshole. I don't know what to tell you. I can't change you any more than I can change Nyla. I don't give a fuck. She's the women's champion. And to be honest with you, that the division is such fucking shambles to begin with, that's the real crime here, folks. The division itself is in fucking shambles. That division is disgusting. And you're worried about Nyla Rose, who might be the most marketable person in that division at the moment. The fact that she didn't win that championship night one instead of Riho is the crime here. Not the fact that she chooses to live her life a certain way, you idiots. What does it matter to you? How are you that invested in someone else's life that it ruined you to the point where you felt the need, the absolute desire to go online and tell people that you don't approve of it? That's disgusting. It's a disgrace. You will tell me till you're blue in the face that Orange Cassidy's bullshit is the evolution of wrestling. But you have a problem with a woman who is being identified as a woman on her own accord and by her peers. You have a problem with that. I don't understand. I'm not trying to equate the two. I'm just trying to find the consistency of the logic. There are people out here who will tell me A is bad and B is good. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking A is pretty bad. And B is pretty good, but it could also go the other way. A can be pretty good and B can be pretty bad. It all really depends. There's some subjectivity to this. It goes more into that me, I bubble bullshit. Oh, what was it I saw the other day? Jim Cornette. It was about Jim Cornette. Somebody shared some video or something about Jim Cornette and some lady in the comments. He's so out of touch. What an idiot. That's why nobody listens to him. Millions of views on a daily basis. What the fuck are you talking about? No one listens to him. Everyone's listening to him. That's how the rumor gets started. That's how the internet chatter starts, because people are paying attention to what this guy is saying. You sound like an idiot when you say these things, people. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to let you see this. Like, no one's going to say that. No one's going to do this. No one. Anyone. Blah, 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 blah. This I, me, bubble bullshit. It's so dumb. No, what was it? That girl Ghostbuster movie was the shits. It was the worst movie ever. Says who? You, Henry? It was bad to you, Henry? Is that what it was? Is that why it's the because Henry from from Houston, Texas, decided that this movie is bad. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's made official. This movie is horrible. Speaking of movies, that was the one analogy I kept throwing at people with Nyla Rose winning the whole deal. I was like, well, it's an unfair advantage. That's what he was, right? It's an unfair advantage. It's an unfair advantage. And then people will respond to that. Well, it's a fake sport. It's scripted. Okay, yeah, it's scripted. But, you know, scripts can be bad, folks. Remember, you break down movies all the time when the script doesn't have logic and doesn't make sense. Nyla Rose winning the championship can either make sense or it cannot make sense. Depends on how the script was written. I didn't hear a whole lot of people talking about unfair advantages when Tessa won the championship. People were buying into, a lot more people bought into that than they bought into Nyla Rose. Isn't that crazy? A lot. There were people who, I'm not going to say that it was not across the board. There were people who hated it. But there was a lot, I feel like there was a lot more acceptance with Tessa winning the guy's title than there was of a guy, quote unquote, by their argument and by their definition, winning a women's championship. Seemed to be a lot more hate on one side than the other. I think it's because Tessa is not sitting here trying to convince you that she's a man. She's very well aware she's a woman. Very beautiful, very fit, very good-looking woman. And I'm going to win the men's belt. Whereas on the other side, I think these people are troubled by the idea that this woman is a transsexual. They're just threatened by it, and I don't understand why. Well, it doesn't make sense. Winning the championship could make perfect sense if it's written correctly, which is a whole other bag of shit. I don't know if it will be written correctly, but it can. If they sit down and really think about it and get the right people behind it to write for it, it could. Get off of your fucking high horses and get away from your fucking bias and get away from your stereotypes and just open your fucking eyes and realize you're living in a different fucking world now. You're living in a different world. People, remember all that bullshit we used to say about the American dream, living in a country with freedoms that other countries just won't get you? This is an example of that. For all these people who are racist and bigots and shit on people who are gay or trans or pansexual or bisexual or whatever, chairsexual, who gives a fuck? For anybody out there who's giving these people a fucking problem, it's a very, very simple solution to it. Wake up. Because a lot of these people are old school and they sit there, well, this isn't what my grandfather fought for in the war. And this is exactly what they fought for. Exactly. The freedom to choose amongst yourself whatever life you want to have. That is what freedom is. Freedom is supposed to be without conditions. You live your life the way you want to live them. Without need for consent, without restriction, and more than ever before, I'll say this out loud, without judgment or fear of persecution. That's what freedom is. Now, on the flip side, you don't have to like it. If you're going to sit here and tell me, well, I mean, he's free to do whatever he wants to do, or she's free to do whatever she wants to do, I just don't like it. Fine. You are able to sit there and not like it. That's your right as a human being. But I don't have to hear it. That doesn't have to be shared. You don't have to tell me every 2 seconds on your social media, I think it's dumb that Nyla Rose won the championship. You are free to feel that way. I just don't give a fuck that you feel that way. Ding! It isn't that important to the fucking puzzle. Wake up, realize what's happening, go with the fucking flow on this. Because resisting it is just going to get you in fucking trouble. Okay? It's just going to get you in fucking trouble. For all these people who are going online and saying this shit, guys, gals, this online shit is forever. It's getting sent to your jobs. It's getting sent to your families. It's outing you. If you want to be a bigot, if I were you, I would be a more inclusive bigot with your bigotry. Because to be so outward with it, it's getting you in fucking trouble. Okay? Are we clear on that? And that whole deal? Are we fine now? Did I settle the score with all that? Jesus Christ. Okay, so as I said, we were going to end this episode, and I've got time here to do that. We're going to end this episode with the interview that I did with the two owners of Pro Wrestling Academy. I can't wait for them to get going again. Again, Kara and Pete have been so great to me in my career. We're going to divulge into that a little bit here, and then we're going to go ahead and end the show pretty much at the end of that. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying this episode. Here is the interview I did with the owners of Pro Wrestling Academy, and they're going to talk to you guys about what you need to know about what's next in the world of PWA. Hey guys, Orsini here. Like I just said, man, I have been out of the game for quite a bit. I had a good run in the business, and I made the announcement just about a month or so ago, that I was heading back into the business. I've been doing some more things behind the scenes. I haven't done much as far as the on-screen stuff recently, but I got plans down the pike for that to change. Keep you updated on that. And Lord and behold, as I am preparing for my imminent and hopefully theatrical return to the wrestling business. Another entity has decided to do the same. Now, I've mentioned this company on my show a bunch of times, and the reason for that is because it's all good. It's all positive. I love promoting promotions that were good, good promotions that provided good wrestling and good talent. And we provided a good working atmosphere for people. And one of my favorite places ever to work in my entire career. And I dare say it's number one at the top, to be honest with you. I say one of to be nice in case all these other promoters that I've worked for hear the show. But the fact of the matter is, between me and you, just so we're just, you know, it's just us in the room talking. This is one of my favorite places. This is the favorite place to work. And that is Pro Wrestling Academy. Now, PWA had been around for a long, long time, and I was proud to have been a part of that company for as long as I was, which was short in the, compared to the time that I wanted to be there. They ended up closing their doors in 2017, to my dismay. But I am happy to hear that recently they just dropped a video on their social media announcing the return of PWA, the return of Pro Wrestling Academy, and I'm super psyched about it. So psyched, in fact, that as soon as I made the announcement that my phone situation is working here in my house, I had to make the phone call. So I'm very, very happy, very, very proud and honored to have two guests on with me right now. They are the first. They're popping my cherry here. They're the first, not one, not, I got two on the line here who are going to be talking to me about the return of PWA. And of course, I had to go right to the source. I had to go to the two people who are the most influential, the owners of Pro Wrestling Academy. I'm here with Kara and Pete, also known as Josef von Schmidt. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Borsini? We're doing good.
Doing good, thanks.
Well, listen, I have to be, I'm going to pull the curtain back just a little bit here, and you guys have been doing this for a long time as promoters, and as Pete, you've been an active performer yourself for a number of years, and you guys brought me in toward the end there, just a few years before you closed the doors. I'm going to pull the curtain back just a little bit and tell you guys right off the bat here, thank you. Because you guys provided a lot of a great platform for a lot of individuals that came through your doors, and I'm proud to say that I'm one of them. So I want to start off this interview by thanking you for the opportunity in which you gave me. And so, as all my interviews start, I would like to ask my first question: why did you bring me in? What was it about me that you guys wanted me to be a part of your company there?
Well, you know, what PWA always represented was a little bit different from just your other everyday average indie. We believe is that what I would do is I would find talent that was good, that would click, that would meld together, not necessarily in the area that we're in. Because if you go to promotion, especially down here in Georgia, you'll see, you know, John Smith on APW, BPW, CPW, EPW, you know.
All the funny letters.
Yeah, all the funny letters. And what we tried to always do is we would try to get people as far as Maine, all the way down to Florida, to California, to Texas, to Canada, across the seas, Ecuador, Mexico. We would try to find the best talent that we could, that we can afford, obviously, too, and just try to put the best talents that we've seen in this reviewing tapes, reviewing matches, and that's where you come in. We saw what you were doing. We saw that your personality. You also were. I don't know if we're pulling back the curtain here a little bit. You know, I believe you were the Alaskan luchador.
Oh yes, that was the my kayfabe cousin for a while. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, we just like to see what you were doing, man. And we just like to have you part and click it in, and you click just fine, you know.
You were so underrated in what you were being used for in New York. I thought when Pete first introduced me to you, I thought you'd be a great fit automatically. And I mean, I owe that thanks to him because he found you and then introduced me to you. And then once you came in, you just fit so perfectly in with us. And like I working with you was one of the best experiences because I never had to question anything. I mean, we literally could just give each other a look and that was it. So
absolutely,
like you were
yeah.
the perfect fit from the get-go.
And that's the hard thing. Sorry, just one more thing about yeah. that is the hard thing is you know, there's lots of great talent out there, but there's also personality as well. So if the personality doesn't fit with the talent, it's not going to click.
Absolutely. That was one of the, you know, you're speaking about Finding Me, Von Schmidt, the character, you were the FTW heavyweight champion here in New York for a while. And I was ring announcing for that company, and that's where the connection first met. And we always hit it off. And then we had the infamous birthday celebration. That was where I believe that's where our chemistry really first started rearing its head. And then I remember a random show in Queens when you just asked me straight out. I was like, hey, I got this company up in Connecticut. We're doing a bunch of cool stuff. We'd love for you to come down and ring announce for us. I was like, sure. And that's where my connection, like, I'm friends with Von Schmidt, but I've always had a really unique connection with you, Kara, because I spend most of my time running around backstage as well. So like what you were saying before about sometimes it would just be a look. I don't know how many countless times we would do shows, and I have a bad habit. I consider it a bad habit, but other people don't. But I consider it a bad habit that sometimes while I'm watching the match live, I will sometimes critique it out loud instead of my head like I'm supposed to. I'm very verbal about it. But I quickly discovered working at PWA, you have a similar problem. Sometimes we're a very critical bunch, you and I, at some of the matches that we watch. As a company, you're more than just a company. You guys were also a school, Pro Wrestling Academy. You guys took the training portion of the pro wrestling business either equal or probably more so important to you than the actual shows itself. Kara, talk to me about your relationship with these students, because you were like a mother hen to a lot of people. A lot of us really looked up to you and your leadership throughout the course of this run. How would you describe your relationship with your students?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
How would you describe your relationship with the students that came in and out of PWA?
I think you got mother hen to a pretty good description there. I was initially more the behind the scenes, but as I kind of grew into my role, I think that's what it was. I became a friend, but I became someone that they also depended on too. In the respect of like when Pete went to Georgia, then I took over. I think that they were comfortable with me because I kind of like stepped up into that. They knew that I was. They knew that Pete and I had defined roles. Right. And they knew what my role was. And my role was always the behind the scenes, but I was always there too. And then once I took over with the, you know, keeping the school open once Pete was in Georgia, then I kind of became everything. I had to keep the school going. I had to keep the shows running. So I ended up having like a family relationship. Like that's how we built PWA, was more like a family situation. And then we kept. But then I definitely became. I have quite a few students that still refer to me as their wrestling mom. So
I have seen that, and I don't think you're very comfortable with that sometimes. But
not much different in age from me. So.
Exactly, which is why I think that that's sometimes an uncomfortable thing. But I think sometimes when there's leadership of your kind, and there's Pete's as well. I think sometimes those bonds, like you said, like a family, a hierarchy just kind of automatically kind of falls into place. And you guys were the leader of a very, very large family. Pete, talk to me about your relationship with your students to a different degree, because now you're an in-ring performer yourself. So as a trainer, as an old school trainer like you are, I'm sure you took a lot of responsibility in teaching these guys the right deal. As a performer in the ring, what did these guys have to really do to prove to you that they were prepared for life outside of the academy?
Well, that's a really interesting thing. And just let me go back just a step back first before I go forward with that answer. You know, when we originally started in 2004, we were something different, and then we kind of melded along the way. And sorry, Kara's holding up three fingers to me. 2003. I'm getting old.
Reading a script, don't read the brackets.
Yeah. But, you know, starting there, I was fresh off of getting out of my school. And then, you know, then after that, I toured the world. And then we came back and we started doing PWA again. So So what I learned and what I wanted my students to know is that the wrestling business is the same everywhere, but it's also there's different nuances in where you go. And my most important thing where about the school and about the students was that I wanted them to learn, you know, the respect aspect of it, because a lot of places I still go today, you know, that respect, that handshake, that looking in the eyes, that's all kind of fading away. And, you know, respecting the fellow students, that some a lot of places I've gone, that doesn't seem to be a big thing, you know. And there's actually a lot of good, talented students that were, you know, removed from the academy because of that stuff. So it was, you could have been the most talented person in the world, but if you didn't respect other wrestlers and other students and have that, you didn't have that respect, that was what I really wanted to push more than anything.
If I could just add in too, along the relationship line, like you said, like a lot of those guys definitely look up to Pete as like a father figure. Some of them didn't have fathers either. And Pete kind of stepped into it like that role for a lot of them too, because they were able to look up to him and he was able to give them a certain discipline in life too that they might not have had in other aspects. And it was a discipline that they knew that once if they took this seriously, they could get them somewhere. And Pete was able to establish that with them. Whereas I obviously didn't do any of the training and I was behind the scenes and they had a different sort of respect for me, but they definitely had like a fatherly disciplinary respect for Pete, which I think a lot of them still do to this day.
And that's kind of in normal family environment too, right? Is the father is the discipline and the mother is the nurturing. So, and that's, you know, we had that whole connecting thing in PWA. And I think that is really why it was so unique and successful.
There was, I want to give the audience a bit of an example of what I'm talking about as far as the level of trust. There is, as you guys just displayed now, what you guys just went through a great description, what you expected from your students, and that expectation leaked off into other things, because you had performers on your show that weren't necessarily quote-unquote your students. You were bringing in talent from a lot of different places, whether they were known or not, and you were basing these evaluations on their talent, what they were able to do, fair across the board. And what I'm a great example, I think, of trust, I think I personally have one of the better examples of it is, and I'll bring up the entire scenario because I think I've talked about it on this show before, but if not, then this is probably the first time some are hearing of it. We had a show in one of the school shows. I don't believe we were at Friday Night Fight mode just yet, but it was one of the school shows, and we had two competitors. It was Hippie Dickie Moon and Troy Stevens, I believe. They were having a match, and Dickie took a hard bump.
Azrael.
Was it Azrael he was wrestling, or was it Azrael that took the bump? I thought it was Dickie. Just, I thought Dickie Moon took the bump.
He was wrestling Az, and Dickie took the bump.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. So Dickie takes the bump. It's a pretty nasty bump, and there's a little cause for concern. And so the match is over. Dickie comes to the back. As far as we know in the back, everything seems to be okay. He took a bad bunk. He's a little shaken up. But the audience seemed a little shaken up as well, because it was a visibly bad bump or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're all concerned about Hippie. We're looking over. We're talking to him, all that stuff. And I believe it was the two of you together where you guys walked over to me as the ring announcer, and you said, listen, we've got one more match. We don't want people to leave. We don't want people to think the show is over. But at the same time, we don't want them concerned. We need to get them back, right? So Kara gives me the microphone, and the both of you were like, I don't really care what you say. Just get them back. just say something. So I want to say something. I don't want to be too long. I don't want to be too short. I want to get the concerns away from the injury and back onto the show and get the energy flowing again. And so I didn't know what I was going to say, but by the end of it, everyone's cheering, everyone's jumping up and down, and now we've got a main event match, and here it comes. So I bring this up as an example. I am not, quote-unquote, a PWA student, but I feel up until that point that perhaps, and maybe you guys can validate this, I had done enough in your eyes to say, I think he can help us in this situation. And you gave me a mic and you gave me an opportunity to do that. So then I went out there and I did what I did. Do you remember the situation that I'm talking about? Or
I remember it exactly. I remember the first thing I thought was AJ can do this. There's no one else. There's no doubt in my mind that like you could have brought them back in and you did. There was nothing that I thought that I would have to tell you to say. I just knew that you would do it. And I've told many people actually about the same scenario and about other times too where I would just say, get the crowd back. And I didn't even have to tell you what to say. I just knew that you would do it. Full confidence.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like I would like to think that that was something that I had earned, but I feel like I earned that everywhere I go. And you were the first ones to really give me the opportunity to do that. After that, I really do feel like after that, it became more of a normal thing for companies where it's like, buy time, AJ, or it's like, don't forget the raffle, AJ, or tell them about the merch, AJ. But like, it was before, I never really got like a set of instructions from you guys. It was like, okay, we know what he can do, let him do his thing, and that's the way that we went. So like I've been saying, I completely 100% miss this company. I love performing there. I loved the type of performers you were bringing in. And I'm super duper extremely excited that you're coming back. But I wanted to clarify what coming back per se really means. You've mentioned it a few times since we've been talking here. Pete had moved to Georgia, but PWA is founded and was previously run here in Connecticut. So from what I understand, you'll be running two different entities under the same umbrella. How are you guys situating that between Georgia and Connecticut?
That's kind of what it is, but it's the same entity. But what's going to be more down in Georgia right now is just because the access that I have is more going to be like the Friday night fights. It's going to be bringing in that type of environment, 10 competitors, 5 matches, all random draw. And then, you know, because what we have down here is, you know, I have connections with WWA4 and Stranglehold Wrestling. So there's the opportunity to, you know, run these type of events through other venues that are already established down here. We're in Connecticut. Kara will happily field that question, but it's more along the lines of we're going to be looking for the venues that we were doing before the Friday night fights and back in 2003, where it's going to be calculated planning, getting that venue, booking the solid matches that we really believe we think the fans want to see, and just we think we're going to be good matches and good talent. And that's really the two differences.
Yeah, I mean, so like Pete said, he's down here in Georgia. I'm up in Connecticut. So with him doing that in Georgia, I'll be able to assist him from a distance. Me being up in Connecticut, he'll be assisting me, and then I'll be running more of like Pete said, the venue type shows that we did, which were the ones that we did when you first started too. All
right.
So we're both still, obviously the owners, we're both still involved. We're both still doing all the aspects of it. It's just that Pete's going to be more in charge of the Georgia stuff, and I'm going to be more in charge of the Connecticut stuff, and working together though still the whole time.
What about the aspect of the academy, the school portion? Will you guys still be running a school in either of the locations?
As of right now, that's not the main focus. The main focus is bringing back the shows, like because. Right now, I'm actually helping train at the WWA4 school when I'm there, as well as the Stranglehold Academy. So right now, I'm not trying to do anything to compete with either one of those schools or any other schools, but it's more along the lines of just getting the talent that I know that's in the New England, New York area and down here. That's really what I want to do. I want to really introduce the talent that I know down here.
There are still Pete has to step away, so now you just have me for a little bit.
That's
but
okay.
There are definitely still plans of doing a school. Pete definitely still wants to potentially run a school down here. It's just not in the like immediate future.
Right.
I still would definitely want to do a school up in Connecticut, but that's definitely more of a distant future than, you know, Pete would be potentially do down here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because like we've been saying, I mean, you guys have such an invaluable amount of knowledge when it comes to training. So I just wanted to make sure if it was at all possible. So as of right now, not in the plans. So that's good. But you guys are bringing back the shows. Yes. Am I still the voice of this company? Because I would like to continue to promote. Am I also back with PWA?
I think I've always said that you will always be the voice, as far as I'm concerned. I've always said that Pete was the head, I was the heart, and you were our voice.
There it is. So you guys heard it here first. All right. Well, I mean, first of all, congratulations on the return. I know that you've been going through quite a bit personally over the years. I won't pull the curtain back that far, but you have been going through a lot. Pete, also getting his family together and all that stuff. So it's good to see that you guys have worked tirelessly and you wound up exactly where you were hoping you would when you closed those doors originally. I remember the last night. I came back for the last night, the big return, and you told me that evening. You said, listen, this is not forever. There's going to be a day where we're going to make that announcement, where we're going to be back, and I'm glad to see that it's finally here. So I'm very happy for you guys, and I will be continuing to support the Blue brand throughout the course of this show here. And as soon as you start getting dates and all that stuff, we'll get all that information out there. For those of you wondering, I've been checking around the internets here. Obviously, Pro Wrestling Academy CT is how you would be able to find them on Facebook, on the Twitter, at PWACT1. And on Instagram at PWACT. So those are your social media right now is where they can get updates as to when shows are coming up, talent acquisitions, things like that.
Yes, that's exactly where. I think our main point is Facebook right now, followed up by some Instagram, and then I'll get the Twitter going eventually again too.
Well, it is there. Give it a follow. When she gets to it, she gets to it, guys. Come on, I just told you she's been going through some shit. So give her a few minutes to get to it. They just literally made the announcement. What was this, like a few days ago? You just made this announcement.
It wasn't yesterday. It was Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, we made it on Wednesday, so 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. All right. So check it out, guys. Keep your eyes open for that. I'm telling you guys, I've been doing this a long time. This is one of the best companies. And I have no doubt, full confidence that when that card, whatever that first card is going to be absolutely amazing. I know that you guys have access to a lot of different talent, man, but I'm going to be honest with you. My heart will always be with the OGs, man. I want to see some Nathaniel Carr. I want to see some Hippie Dicky Moon. I want to see some OGs here, man. Can we get Donnie Brooks on the show? Can we fly him out?
He's out in California right now, but I would love for him to come back. Believe me.
Can we do an ECW one-night stand version of PWA where we just do like a dream card of some of some of the original PWA guys? This is going to be a lot of fun.
On a personal level,
how do you feel about all this? You ready? You're excited? I mean, this is what you've been waiting for, right?
I am very excited. Somebody asked me the other day, and being a woman, if I feel any different about it, I don't. I'm not intimidated. I'm excited. There's certain aspects of it that I know I'll be doing a little more on my own.
Right.
So, it's.
Yeah, because it is a different setup now. Pete's not there. Not all the time, anyway.
Yes.
Right.
So, I do have to say that I have great support. I have a lot of help. Right. I mean, like you, I know you'll always be there to help me.
Always.
I know I have a lot of good support behind me, but what happened when I took over for the year and a half when I took over running the school before we closed, was I learned a lot. I learned a lot on how to promote, a lot on how to book. And I took the time to actually, I didn't necessarily look at a match and think, like, what's the psychology of this? So I had to actually, sit down and learn that and ask questions and stuff like that. So I've taken the time to learn. I've been around wrestling now for over 20 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And, in the independence. So, I know a thing or two. Definitely not going to claim to know everything. Definitely not going to claim to know as much as Pete, like, from a training point of view or anything like that. But I'm confident enough that this is going to be good, and I'm excited too. So it's a passion of mine, and I'm just really happy that it's back.
I have 100% full confidence in you. I've seen you in the trenches. I've seen you with the hectic schedules and the moving things around and the dealing with the venues and all that stuff. I've seen you go through all of it. and come out on top. So I have full confidence in you. I have a lot of friends and family who have attended these shows, not only just workers, but actual friends and family who have attended these shows and walked away just blown away by your presentation. So I know that you guys are going to do the damn thing. So tell Pete I said bye.
I will. He had a run, unfortunately.
That's fine. I know you guys are dealing with, you're at the house and everything. So I'm glad you guys were able to take the time, just a few minutes out of your schedule. I thank you for that. Again, guys, check this out. It's going to be on the Facebook. It's going to be on the Twitter. When she gets to the Twitter, it'll be on the Twitter.
It will be.
And as a side note, for some of the stuff that I'll be doing on my YouTube channel as well, some promotional stuff, you guys are going to get a chance to hear that. As you just heard here, I'm still going to be the voice of PWA, which I take very, very seriously. And as I told Kara this personally, and now I'll say it here on the show, the stuff that I mentioned before about coming back into the industry didn't revolve around anything that I was doing before. So I'm not going to be doing any commentary. I'm not going to be doing any re-announcing. Those are all things that I've done. I'm trying to evolve and do something better. But as Kara said, I'm the voice of PWA, and I refuse to let that go. So, and officially here, my ring announcing skill set is exclusively to PWA. I won't be ring announcing literally for anyone else anywhere. So if you want to see me perform in this silky voice live in attendance, you can only hear it at Pro Wrestling Academy. That's the only time you will be able to hear it. And I look forward to promoting your events. I look forward to being there and hugging you again. And I look forward to seeing you guys kick ass in this industry one more time. Thank you so much, Kara.
Thank you. Thank you. We're both excited about, you know, the areas that we're going now that we've branched down to two states. And we're very excited that we have your support and everybody else's too. We've gotten a lot of really good feedback in the past few days. And that's really kind of, you know, held their heads up high, you know, the past few days about it too. So.
Well, thanks again, Kara. Tell Pete I said thank you. And we'll catch you down the road, man. Have a good day.
Thank you.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.